and it's coming faster all the time. They want to take away local control so that where are those pockets of Christianity, they can do away with it. And so we need to really be in prayer. So tonight we're going to look at the fact that we are in a spiritual battle, and we're going to look at Satan and the spiritual forces of evil that are aligned against us. Yes, governments, state, local, federal, international, are based on satanic power. Satan is the god of this world, whether you know it or not. Jehovah God is the god of all the worlds. But right now, Satan is the one who's leading state, local, and federal governments pretty well. They're going against the word of God and against the things of God. And we have to understand, we're not opposed. My primary battle is not against Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. Our battle is against Satan and his demons, because they are the ones inspiring these things. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Father, bless us as we study your word. Help us to know what this means, that we are not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting a spiritual battle. And Lord, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a series, and we're not doing it one week after another. We're putting a week in and then take a little break and come back. We're in a series on the invisible spiritual battle that every single Christian is involved in. We are on the winning side. In the end, we are going to win. But in the meantime, there's a spiritual battle going on that it appears everywhere you look. Right now, we're losing the battle. And so we need to be aware of what's going on. When the Bible speaks about spiritual forces, we're talking about Satan and we're talking about his demons. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, talking about Satan, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You and I are in a spiritual battle. Satan not only wants to destroy your life, he wants to destroy the life of your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren if you live that long. What Satan is after is getting followers to follow his way of thinking. Because in his demented mind, he may still think he's going to win the battle. Even though he knows the word of God, he must doubt the word of God too, or he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. And so when we look at this battle, we have to understand, when Satan fell into sin, he did not fall into sin alone. This happened at almost the creation of the world, because shortly after the creation of the world, Satan is the one deceiving Eve in the garden. So in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3, it tells us how many angels went with him. "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven." And that's talking about angels. and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan, when he fell into sin, had a third of God's angels following him into that rebellion and that sin. And those are the forces that we are against today. Satan was not created as a demon or a fallen angel. Satan was created as the highest angel of all the angels, and he fell into sin when he thought he would make himself God. But he didn't do it alone. He had a third of the angels following his rebellion. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, it says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels." We don't know for sure how many angels there are, how many there were in creation, and how many are godly. We know that a third of the angels that God created are now demons. But we do know that in the Bible, it talks about myriad of angels. That's the Greek word used there. And it means 10,000. So you got 10,000 times 10,000. How many is that? If you got 1,000 times 1,000, it's 1,000,000. If you got 10,000 times 10,000, I think it's 100,000,000. So that's a lot of demons around the world. And it may be more. We don't know for sure. But it's a lot. Probably it says there's too many to count, so it's innumerable. The Bible tells us Satan's army of demons is highly organized. When you've got an army that's highly organized, right now Israel's going against Hamas. Israel's going to have trouble, but not as much trouble as they would have if Hamas was a really organized enemy. Hamas is just a group of men that hate Israel, but they're not real well organized. They get most of their money and most of their arms from Iran. And so as long as Iran doesn't get involved in the fight, it shouldn't be much of a battle. But the spiritual forces you are facing are very, very organized. In Ephesians 6:12, it tells us about it. It says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Often as a pastor, I get people asking me, "Do you believe there's a worldwide effort to force Christ out and for them to take over the government?" I'll just tell you the truth. I'm not too much on all the rumors that we're hearing. I don't know if they're true or not true. But I do know there are spiritual forces that are trying to get this done, and they're using people as pawns in their fight. So I'm not so worried about men and women involved. What I'm concerned about is the spiritual battle going on in hearts right now, because that's where the real battle is. The Old Testament says the God of the nations are demons. In Psalm 96, verse 5, "For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heaven." And so all these different gods that all these different nations have are idols, and behind every idol is a demon. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 16 through 18, "They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed on the devils." That's what it's talking about, demons. There's a demon, a spirit behind every idol. "They sacrificed on the devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came up newly, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begot thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee." And so what we want to look at here is the idea. In 1 John 5, verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. All the people that you know that do not have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are under the orders of Satan. They're following Satan. Jesus said even a very religious people of his day you belong to your father, the devil. And they did. They didn't know it. They thought they were serving the one true God. The apostle Paul, before he was Paul, was named Saul. And he really thought he was serving God by killing Christians, by forcing Christians to blaspheme the name of Jesus Christ. But he wasn't. Just because somebody's religious does not mean they know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord and you're not born into his family, you belong to Satan. Even some very moral people are driven by Satan, and they don't even know it. Years ago, National Geographic ran a special article on the Alaskan bull moose. The males of the species, when it comes rutting time, they actually battle each other horn to horn as fast as they can run. Boom, they hit. And the one that wins is the one that prepared for the battle. Earlier that spring, that bull moose was eating the best stuff he could find so that his horns were strong. And he put on weight. The heavyweight with the biggest horns is the one that wins. And if you're going to do battle with Satan, you've got to prepare before the time of testing comes. You've got to be in the Word of God. You've got to be eating the best food, because he is going to come against you. He's going to come against your family. He comes against our school boards through laws that are inspired by him. When we look at all this stuff that's changing, like I said today, the last 20 years, we have seen more changes in our way of life than we've seen in all the rest of the time of my life. And it's not going God's way right now. And so don't be surprised when you see even more. So we want to look at the battle that is set before us, because you and I, the rest of the time we have on this earth, whether it's 20 years or 30 or 10, whatever time we have left, we want to be on the right side of this battle. So the last time we were together talking about this, we said that spiritual warfare is real, and like it or not, you and I are in a battle. And it's not just a battle for ourselves. It's a battle for our children. It's a battle for our churches. It's a battle for our school systems. We're fighting real spiritual battles all the time. If you're a child of God, you've been drafted into his army. You volunteered the minute you became a Christian to fight on Christ's side. Prior to that time, you were fighting on Satan's side. Whether you thought you were or not, you were. So we're in a spiritual battle, and it's important to recognize the reality of the battle so that you prepare yourself. The best strategy for war is to know your enemy. And so again, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're going to learn about our Lord, or about our enemy. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You will not win this battle with your own strength or your own wisdom. You have to go in the Lord's strength and the Lord's wisdom. Put on the whole armor of God. And the next time we meet, we're going to be talking about that armor in depth. This time, we're just going to give an overview again. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Joe Biden is not your enemy. It's who's sponsoring Joe Biden, who's supporting him, who's giving him his ideas. That's the enemy. The deepest issues of our society are not psychological. They're not physical. They're not educational. Education is messed up, but that's still not the primary enemy. They're not sociological, and they're not economic. They are spiritual. That's where the battle's at. That's where the child of God can shine if we'll learn how to fight the Lord's way. When we face a spiritual problem in our nation, in our churches, in our homes, it's time to go to prayer. Most of you know Bill Frankenhauser that comes here. He told the Satan, or told the devil, you are not going to have my family. He's a prayer warrior. He's praying for his family every single day. I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Satan wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. We need to be busy in prayer because that's a big part of our spiritual warfare. We're told in God's word, if you want to fight a spiritual battle, it'll never be won in the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Those are beliefs that you and I and our children and our grandchildren have. We can get our minds so set thinking we know what we're doing when all the while it's Satan that's giving us those ideas. We cast down imaginations and every high thing that he sets, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We do that in our own hearts first, and then we pray for our family, we pray for our churches, we pray for others. But we have to have it right ourselves first. You can't pray something for somebody else that you don't have. You have to have this. Our enemy wants to destroy our families and our society. He does not want the United States of America sending missionaries all over the world for Christ's glory. Our country has sent out more missionaries in the 76 years we've been a nation now than all the nations, any other nation ever has. He hates that and he wants to put an end to it. Our spiritual battle must be fought with spiritual means. We cannot win it in the flesh. So this is a personal battle that will continue all the days of our life. We are not going to win this battle while I'm still alive. We're not going to win this battle when the youngest person, I think probably Jeremy, when he's alive, that battle will not be won. That battle won't be finally won until Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, rules for 1,000 years from Jerusalem, and then Satan's let out at the end of the 1,000 years for one more big battle. And then it's going to be done. But folks, I got to tell you, that's a ways off yet. That's over 1,007 years away at least, and we don't know just when. So our battle is against Satan. He's our primary adversary, but he has all kinds of lower level people or angels, demons now, under him. In 1 Peter 5:8 again, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." That's why I tell you, almost pleading with you today, that you don't send your children, your grandchildren, to a public school if you can possibly help it. Because they're being taught things on purpose that are taking their hearts away from the Lord. We need to be so careful with this thing because it's being done on purpose and it's a spiritual battle. And Satan now has our schools, all the public schools that I know of. All this stuff is coming in and all it does is causes confusion. Am I a boy or am I a girl? Should I marry a man or should I marry a woman? Is a child at conception? All these things. People knew 150 years ago in our country, there was no question about any of that. We were a Christian nation. Today we're not. The personal pronoun is he is your adversary. He's the adversary of your children, your grandchildren, the church, everything. But he is your adversary. He is against you walking with God. We have to fill ourselves with God's word and God's spirit, or we don't have a chance. In Ephesians 4:26, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." That place is called a foothold. When you sin, when you choose to disobey what you know the Lord wants you to do, you're giving the devil a foothold in your life. I just talked with a family today. One of the children in the family has himself really tied up in drugs, and he's destroying himself and demanding that his family help him. How can you help somebody when they're destroying themselves? Sometimes all you have to do is say, well, I can't help you until you decide you're going to help yourself. Folks, it's a spiritual battle. And as long as that person keeps giving in to his flesh and allowing Satan to control his life, no matter how much help you give him, what are you doing? You're making provision so that that person can continue in their sin. There is a time for a Christian to say, no, I'm not going to help you until you help yourself. Folks, we have to be careful with these things. In Ephesians 5:15, see then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Folks, it's time for us not to be messing around with wine and alcohol and drugs and all the rest of the things that are making people where they can't even control themselves, let alone help anybody else control themselves. We need to learn how to fight the battle. And the first battle we have to resolve is in our own heart. You have to learn that God says one of the first things that a Christian gets is the ability to say no to sin and ungodliness. If you're living in sin and you're living in ungodliness, how can you possibly fight a spiritual battle? You're going to lose. We need to get our own lives straight. Snakes, I don't know if you know this or not, Satan is called a snake. Snakes don't blink. I hope you understand that. Snakes have scales over their eyes to protect their eyes. They even sleep with their eyes open. When they're digging in the ground, their eyes are open. Satan is always watching. He waits until he sees you're weakening. He waits until you're really tired or you're really hungry or you're really angry about something or you're really, really lonely. That's when Satan will attack you. The Bible says you have to understand these things, and the way you come to understand those things is studying God's word and preparing your heart for battle. When I get really, really tired, I know that I can't win any spiritual battles. I've got to get some sleep. You have to understand we're in a spiritual battle, but there are physical realities in that battle. When I get really, really hungry, I get really, really grumpy. And so what has to happen? I have to have some physical food. I don't fight it in the flesh, but I understand how the flesh works. Satan understands that. When he came to Jesus to tempt him, when did he come? After 40 days of fasting. And the Bible says Jesus was unhungered. Do you suppose you get hungry after 40 days of fasting? It wouldn't take me 40 days. In Yellowstone National Park, there's a large sign that says, "Do not feed the bears." It isn't that the ranger doesn't want the bears to have food. It's that when that bear begins to depend upon you for food, what does he do in the winter when you're not there? Because almost nobody goes to Yellowstone in the winter. It's in the spring, in the summer, in the fall. And they want to feed the bears because it's so cute to watch them. But bears get where they get dependent on people. And then when it comes time for them to fend for themselves, they can't do it. I hope you understand why our government is offering free food to everybody. Free this, free that, free. Because they want you totally dependent on them. And that's Satan, one of Satan's ploys. When we get totally dependent upon them, they take over. And that's what Satan does. When he gets a foothold in your life, whether it's a sexual foothold with pornography or whatever it is, or drugs, or alcohol, or whatever, he's got a foothold. He's going to take control. We think we're in charge when we start to sin, and most of the time we are when we first start. But I want to tell you, there's a tipping point in sin that all at once you're not in control anymore. And sin is now in control. And now you've got a life and death battle going on. When we study the passage we're looking at tonight, we're not going to go into real depth on it. We're going to continue, and we're going to look deeper next week. But it does describe our enemy. Satan and his demons are described in the Bible. He's there in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3 when he tempted Adam and Eve. First thing you see is he's making you doubt God and God's word. He's there in 1 Chronicles 21:1 when he incited David to number the people. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. God had forbidden all the kings to number the people. It was enough to know that I've got enough people for the army, I'm all set. But you don't number the people. Satan wanted God to bring a curse on the nation, and so he incited David to count the people, even though David knew he shouldn't. When he told Joab, a lot of times we look at Joab in the Bible, and we say, what a wicked sinner General Joab was. But Joab himself told David, David, you don't want to do this. Folks, just because you have a heart for God doesn't mean that you're always obedient. And when Satan tempts you, and somebody says, stop and think what you're doing, even if they're not as strong a Christian as you are, you have to start listening. You have to realize Satan can tempt you no matter how strong you are, no matter how devoted your heart usually is. He can tempt any one of us, and if we're not careful and on our guard, we're going to disobey our Lord. Satan is going to be right there all the way through history, right to the very end. In Revelation 12, verse 7, it says there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Satan today goes back and forth between heaven and earth. He's allowed right into heaven. The demons are too. They go and report to God what they're doing, what's going on. But there's going to come a time, which is coming, I think, pretty soon, when Satan is going to be cast out of heaven. And when he is, I believe that's the start or the midpoint of the tribulation period. And this earth is going to have Satan right on this earth all the time and his demons, and they're going to take control. You think it's bad now? We haven't said anything yet. Jesus certainly thought Satan was real because Satan tempted him in the wilderness. It's found in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. We won't take time. I won't read it all right now because I see again I'm running out of time. But it says that Jesus was led in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. We all think God would never do that. You know, the disciples' prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer, but really it's the disciples' prayer. One of the lines says, lead us not into temptation. What you are asking God to do is, please, Lord, don't lead me to that point where Satan's going to tempt me. The Lord does let that happen. You can pray all you want to, but there are times when the Lord is going to allow Satan to tempt you. Because there are things you can learn through being tempted that you can't learn any other way. And so we have to come to reality with this. In modern cultures today, including our own, Satan is a joke. Satan has a red outfit and he's got horns on his head. Sometimes you'll see people in pictures that have the horns and the red cape and all the rest. And it's just a big joke. But it's not a big joke. Satan is a real person. He's a spirit person, but he is a real person. Western culture's reluctance to reality of acknowledging Satan's reality is what gets us into so much trouble. We want to ignore him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not fighting with just one enemy. Satan can't be everywhere at once, but he has demons that are almost everywhere, all around, getting information, taking it back and forth to him. Paul describes here different rankings of demons. As I mentioned, they are very, very organized. Paul describes different rankings in each category, although not explained in detail, it lets us be able to infer a few things from what we read. Number one, rulers reflect a high order of demons linked with authorities in Colossians 2:15. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Spiritual forces of evil are possibly those very demons who are involved in the most wretched and vile activities. We're seeing vileness all around us. I just read today in the Sword of the Lord that on the children's programming, they use the, what's the awards they get for the best actors and best actress? Pardon? What? The Academy Awards. They put that on children's TV. If anybody's seen it, I didn't see it. I just read about it. But they had almost total nakedness and all kinds of things, and they're showing that on kids' cartoon shows. That should never happen. In 1 John 2, verse 15, he tells us something that will really help us in our battle. He says to you and I, do not love the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God liveth forever. We're warned about three ways that Satan will tempt you, and tempt your children, and tempt their children. The three ways are lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When we go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and again, we're not going to read it right now, but I want you to know, Satan used those three different lusts against Eve. In Matthew chapter 4, again, we're not going to read it, but as you study that, you'll see that Satan used exactly the same three temptations against our Lord Jesus Christ. Adam and Eve fell for it. Jesus Christ did not. Now you and I are in Jesus Christ. We don't have to fall for it anymore. We all fell for it before we were saved, but we don't have to fall for it anymore. I do want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 35, because this will tell you that you are going to be a winner in this battle, eventually. It says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Very important for you to understand, Jesus Christ is going to make you a conqueror in his time. So I want to give you a sneak preview that'll show you that in the end, we are going to win. In Revelation 20, verse 7, it says, "When the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations, where it's in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand on the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." How long have the beast and the false prophet been in the lake of fire by the time Satan gets there? Anybody know? 1,000 years. The whole 1,000-year reign of Christ, the beast and the false prophet are in the lake of fire. When a Jehovah's Witness tries to tell you that the lake of fire is just a total cessation of life, your crispy critter, you cease to exist, that's the verse to take them to. Because for 1,000 years, the beast and the false prophet are there, and they are suffering, and the Bible says they are going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's why the lake of fire is so terrible. Once a person or a demon goes there, they will never get out for all eternity. That's why you and I need to be praying for our families, our children, our neighbors, because many of them are not saved. And that's where they're going. If Satan is their God, that's where they wind up. I want you to know this life struggle with sin is going to last as long as you and I are alive. But after we pass this earth, guess what? Our struggle with the old sin nature is done. We'll never face Satan again. We will never have the struggle again. We're at war, but we are on the winning side. What I want to do in the next few weeks is show you how to use the armor of God so that you become effective for Christ's glory and for your own family's benefit. So the important principle to understand in overcoming your enemy, there's a difference between power and authority. When you watch the football game, I'm hoping to go this Friday to see Eric play and Chesney. I'm hoping to go. And on that field, you're going to see young men all suited up with protective gear. They're young and they're strong and they're fast. But there's another group of people you see on that field. They're somewhat older. They're not near as fast. Some of them are fairly strong, but they're not near as fast. But they've got a yellow flag in their back pocket, and they've got a whistle around their neck. And when somebody breaks the rules, they've got the power, but those referees have the authority. And they pull the flag out and throw it in the air, and they blow the whistle, and everything stops. You have authority in Jesus Christ. Satan has power, the demons have power, but you and I have authority. And that authority is not in ourselves. It's in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So Satan is extremely powerful, and the demons are extremely powerful. But you have all the authority of Jesus Christ to throw the flag and say, no, not with my family. No, not in my life. No. No, not in my community. I'm going to stand up in Christ and say, no. I can't encourage you enough. You need to stand up for these school boards all across our country. It's the last-ditch effort. School boards are important. They're there for a reason. And the federal government is trying to take away all the authority of the local boards. We as Christians have to say no. In 1 John 1:9, if the devil gets you into sin, and he will try his hardest, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And once you've been cleansed yourself, you can get right back into the battle for God's glory, and you can help your family. You can help your church. You can help your nation. I got to tell you, all the days of my life, I expect to be in this battle. But I am going to win it through Christ. And one of these days soon, probably within 20 years, maybe 30 at the most, my battle's going to be done. And forever after that, I'm never going to face Satan again. I'm never going to have a sin nature. Everything's going to be right. So I just want to encourage you, keep on fighting. Don't give in. So we're going to sing number